live from the Quad Cities with Morgan Otier and Kyle Keel. This is Quad Cities Live.
Today on QCL, building relationships, meeting needs, sharing hope. We'll get to know Burlington's City Hope Foundation and its partnership with another like-minded local organization.
An annual flea market and yard sale hosted by the Rock Island Conservation Club is back for its 10th year. We'll have a preview of this weekend's event.
And later, hit the streets of downtown Geneseo this weekend for the annual art walk. We'll learn more about the artists involved and what visitors can expect. You're watching Quad Cities Live on this Monday, April 22nd. Wow, we are just flying
through. Cruising
on
through.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Morgan Otier.
And I'm Kyle Keel. Well, maybe you've been to a baby shower or a bridal shower recently. But have you ever been to a kitten shower? Well, whether you have or not, you are invited to one this weekend.
You are. Joining us from the Humane Society of Scott County is Mindy Steele, along with foster volunteer Bailey Poston. Ladies, welcome. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Being here today. And thanks for bringing these little cuties.
Oh, look at them.
They're adorable.
We love them.
So tell us who we've got here.
This is Lux. Bailey has Silas. And these are two kittens that have grown up in our foster program. With one of our great fosters that got them to age and healthy enough to get to the adoption floor.
Well, they certainly seem very healthy and seems like they're thriving and they can't wait to get a new home. So we're talking about your big event coming up this weekend, the kitten shower. So what exactly is a kitten shower?
Basically like a baby shower, you'd bring gifts you would for a baby, but instead of babies, for baby kittens. We need all kinds of donations to help us get through the kitten season. We have thousands of these guys that come in through the next few months and need to go into foster homes. In order to thrive in the foster homes, we need to be able to provide those supplies for them. Wet kitten food, KMR, bottles, the Miracle Nipples, all of that kind of thing. They go through so much of it so quickly, and with so many of them coming in, we like to be able to give our fosters everything that they need in order to succeed with these guys.
Tell us a little bit about kitten season, because I don't know that not necessarily everybody is familiar, but truly, like every springtime, this is an issue.
Absolutely. Spring comes and all of our baby animals start coming in, so we do get an influx of puppies too, but the kittens just come in like crazy. The last week we've had 30 bottle baby kittens come into our shelter. That's just going to increase over the next few months. We'll be getting more and more kittens come in that just need a little help to find their way to the adoption floor. Yeah.
So this is just kind of the start of the ramping up of
kittens. Absolutely.
So obviously you're going to get a lot of helpful supplies here this weekend at the kitten shower. So it's this weekend, this Saturday and Sunday at the PetSmart on Elmore Avenue in Davenport. So what can people expect? Obviously it's a big donation drive, but it's a lot of fun as well.
Oh, absolutely. We will be there both Saturday and Sunday. PetSmart has been kind enough to open their doors and let us do this from noon to four both days. We will have Autumn King there. She'll be doing bottle baby lessons, teaching how to feed these little baby kittens that come in. We'll also have games. We have raffle prizes, Icons Martini Bar and Old Town Bakery both have donated raffle baskets along with a lot of other people and companies.
Well, that's amazing. And now, Bailey, we know that you're a foster mommy to a lot of pets.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what that's like and kind of the training that goes into it. You said there's going to be somebody there that's teaching how to bottle feed. I mean, there's probably a lot of stuff you need to know going into it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, every case is different. Right. Every animal requires different things. And a lot of fosters are super, super easy. They just need a little bit of love and a little bit of care until they're on their way. Some require a little bit more effort, but the Humane Society is amazing with being helpful and getting you all the supplies you need to take care of them.
Yeah, making sure that you're well aware of who's coming, before you get there. So, Mindy, folks who go to this event over the weekend, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, they could become prospective foster.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to answer any questions anybody might have. If they are interested in fostering.
Yeah.
I can provide any information that they could need. But we definitely need fosters for kittens, puppies, seniors, hospice care, all kinds. So if you have room in your home, we can find somebody that can fit.
And if you've fallen in love with Lux and Silas here, you can't adopt them quite yet. You actually have to go to the kitten shower this weekend, right?
Yeah. Yes, they will be here at the kitten shower on Saturday. If they don't get adopted on Saturday, they'll be there Sunday as well. If they are adopted Saturday, we'll have a new pair for them on Sunday.
Spoiler alert, there's been interest already, so you want to get there on Saturday. First come, first serve, I suppose.
Yeah,
so, Bailey, what's it been like being a foster to these animals?
Well, these aren't my fosters right now, but I've had lots of fosters in the past, and it's definitely difficult as well as very rewarding. Giving them up is very difficult, but it's very rewarding to give them more than just a cage to grow up in, because sadly in the Humane Society they do have to sit in cages. And in our home they can grow and
socialize,
grow their personalities and become all they need to be in life.
Yeah, Mindy, like especially when people get animals as puppies or as kittens, I mean that's got to be huge then when they actually get adopted, because the human interaction or socialization must be so much different than it would be otherwise.
You brought up the socialization. A lot of our fosters have other animals in the home or have children in the home, so a lot of our animals coming out of foster are a lot better, more well-rounded. We know their background better. We know they do well with dogs, kids, other cats in the home. We don't always have that opportunity to know with strays, but with animals going into foster care, these fosters give us that opportunity to know a little bit more about these animals.
It can really help.
And you can learn a lot more about fostering this weekend at the Kitten Shower. It's happening, as we mentioned, Saturday and Sunday at the PetSmart over on Elmore Avenue in Davenport. So it runs from noon to 4 on both days. And to learn more about pet adoption or volunteering with the Humane Society, you can visit hssc.us. Mindy and Bailey, we thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, let's get them adopted.
Sweet little kitties. Yes, we would love an update. I'm sure they are going to be adopted so quickly.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, still to come, we are gearing up for our Hello Burlington event this Friday on TV6. And after the break, we'll learn more about a couple of the area's most impactful outreach organizations.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
Helping those who need someone to believe in them. And in Burlington, two organizations have come together to do just that. Tim Sabota is the director of the City Hope Foundation, and Mona Ash is the director of Building Bridges. I want to thank you both for sitting down and chatting with me today.
Absolutely.
We
glad
really,
to be here.
Yes, we appreciate all that you guys are doing there in Burlington, in Southeast Iowa. So Tim, let's start with City Hope Foundation. Tell us about that organization. You guys do provide tons of different services.
Sure. Yeah, we actually came into existence in 2021.
Okay.
So our core values are meeting needs, building relationships, and sharing hope. So we do that through a couple of different avenues. So we have two food pantries, one in Burlington, one in Fort Madison. We have a youth center. It's a Maple Leaf Center. It's just across the street from our Burlington food pantry. And then we just started piloting a high school dropout recovery program.
Oh, wow.
So we do that. And then we partner with Bridges, so we started doing that about a year ago.
Awesome, and I cannot wait to get to Bridges, because what a really great organization that you guys have. So the Maple Leaf Center that you just mentioned, this is a youth center, correct?
Yes.
But you guys also help folks out with some financial issues. You do financial literacy?
So we have a faith and finances class as well.
Okay.
It's not in the Maple Leaf Center, but there's a faith and finances class. It's actually a part of the Bridges organization.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely get into that. So Mona, the Bridges organization, tell us what that specifically provides for folks.
So it's a lot. It's a lot of different things. The main thing we do is the Getting Ahead workshop that is for folks that are in or near poverty. So that is the main thing, and that's an 18-week course. After they graduate that, they are put into the Staying Ahead portion, and they're given a mentor. And the next thing they do is the Faith and Finance. It's a 12-week course. We are also doing the step study during the whole time. So we have three things going on the night of every Tuesday. Like, it's the Getting Ahead workshop, it's the Faith and Finances, and then the step study.
Yeah.
And then we have the children's program. So while our adults are in the learning, doing the learning, then we create a, or we make a meal for them, and we have their kids in childcare.
Amazing, because this is both of these organizations really seem to meet people where they are in life. So Mona, talk about how individuals can't even get involved in the first place, because the way you describe it and the, what I've read so far about the organization is these are people that they're kind of nearing, you know, rock bottom, so to speak. They're looking for their step up and ways to better their own situations. And you're really providing that. You know, tell us how you, the response that you're getting from folks that are going through this program that are then going through the secondary part of the program, because they're actually mentoring people at that point, which is huge. What are they saying, you know, a year later or a couple of years later?
So it's an ongoing process. They can stay in this program as long as they want. Typically, they are wanting to thrive and give back and become co-facilitators. And one of the biggest things that we do is a volunteer kind of heart. We want to be thriving and giving back all the time. The community gave to us and helps make this possible by volunteering for us, and so we want to use our gifts and talents. Everybody that comes in is able to use their gifts and talents in a way that they can give back. So give back into the initiative and give back to our community as well. And you asked about like how it is when they come through it. So the first 18 weeks, we're going through the AHA processes, getting ahead curriculum, and it's kind of just an introspective look at our life. Where do we come from? What we're like asset building. We talk about poverty is defined like the numbers, right? So the federal government defines it as like a family of four. If you make this much, you're in poverty, right? So the definition of poverty with Bridges is to the extent an individual goes without resources, and we are more than money that we can make. We have spiritual, we have emotional health, we have physical health, we need people in our life. All of those things help us to create a better, more well-rounded life, right? And you can have all the money in the world and have low emotional stores, and then you won't be able to handle things. So we look at the person as a whole.
Very holistic approach. Tim, you guys kind of got started around COVID times. You know, there was a lot with that happening, and you know, now we've seen the light at the end of the tunnel. We do feel like we're out of that. So tell us a little bit about the way that you've seen, you know, your organization grow and kind of transcend over these last, you know, 4-5 years.
Sure. Well, actually, it's been almost in a steady growth curve since COVID, which I guess is a good thing and a bad thing. Maybe it's because people are learning more about us, but also there seems to be, the need seems to be increasing as well. So we look at the number of people like utilizing the food pantry, and those numbers are going up. High school dropouts, which is when I got the stats on that, how could you like just ignore the stats and not do something? And so Burlington alone has 80 high school dropouts every year. It's one of the highest in the state of Iowa. And so how could you hear that and not do something? And so that's why we're piloting a program right now, which I expect, you know, this time next year we have a conversation, and, and instead of it being a pilot, it's a full-blown program that we have going on with lots of kids.
Can you tell us, I mean, a little bit about that program and kind of how your intervention, you know, with your organization works with some of these kids?
Sure. So as we're partnering together, a lot of the people that go through the Bridges process seem to be women. And so how do you reach out to guys? Because as guys, we're a little bit arrogant. We don't like to, like, ask for help.
quiet you.
So how can we help guys? And so that's what we're looking at with the high school dropout program. Young men seem to be a little bit more open to help. And when you look at the stats, even as an incarceration and the males that are in there, you look at it and it's high school dropouts. I mean, 80% of a high school dropout. I mean, when you look at those that are in prison, 80% are high school dropouts. Once again, how could you hear that and not do something? And COVID really kind of caused, You've seen a little bit of a decline,
yep,
or a big decline in the school system, depending on where you're looking at. So how could you see that and not do something? Mm-hmm. And so that was one area that we're kind of focusing on. And so we're excited to see where that goes.
Wow. Well, I'm sure your community is so proud to have you guys there and making such an impact. Truly amazing. We want to let everybody know where they can learn more, of course. So the City Hope Foundation, you can learn more about that. You can learn more about Burlington Building Bridges just by going to the website you see on your screen here, cityhopefoundation.org. Tim and Mona, thank you so much. We appreciate you coming here today. We would love to have you both back anytime for updates. So thank
Absolutely.
You. Thank you
right.
so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Well, still to come on QCL, a community flea market now celebrating its 10th year. We'll get the details on this fun event hosted by the Rock Island Conservation Club.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
An organization that's been around for 85 years, the Rock Island Conservation Club, is hosting its annual flea market this weekend. Rain or shine, get out there. And here to tell us about it is Sue Pienta. Sue, thanks for being here today.
Thank you. And as we were talking earlier, you like flea markets.
I do, yes. Who doesn't?
So it's a lot of fun. Yeah. It's the old and the new, but the old is definitely better than the new.
I agree with you. And you brought us some really awesome items that folks can check out at the flea market. So we will get into that and talk about some of our favorites in just a minute. Before we get started and talk about the flea market, give us a little bit of background on the Conservation Club. As I mentioned, it's been around for decades and decades. I think it was created in the 30s, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
If I'm doing my quick math.
Right.
Yeah.
By a group of guys that the club property was actually donated, and they started out with doing pheasants. They were raising pheasants out there and such, and we're all about just protecting our wildlife out there, conservation purposes and things like that.
Very cool. So you guys now are gaining members. You are a nonprofit.
Correct.
People should know that. Talk about how you guys raise money to keep going.
Okay. Well, we do not receive any state, local, or federal funds.
Oh, wow.
Everything that we do out there at the club is done by our membership dues, which is very affordable. It's only $75 a year for a family membership, and that's for if you're 64 years and under.
Okay.
So it's 18 to 64. And then if you're 65 or older, then it's only $60. Yeah. And that's a family membership and your grandchildren up to the age of 18. Once they're 18, they have to have their own membership, liability reasons, things like that.
And what do members get out of being a part of this? Obviously, your mission is about conservation.
It is.
Talk about, you know, what members can really achieve by being part of this amazing group.
Well, we have fishing out there, of course.
Yeah, you know, have all those
we
lakes.
Have all those three lakes out there that you can fish out of. You do need to have a fishing license for the state of Illinois. There's hiking, kayaking, picnicking, free camping with your membership. So it is primitive camping, but you can camp out there 30 days a year, free of charge. And just the beauty of it, it's very quiet in many of the areas, and we have a ton of wildlife that's out there. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you convinced me. That sounds amazing. Okay, so your annual flea market, which I can't get over, has been around for a decade now. It is happening this Saturday, April 27th. So who is this type of event for?
It's for anybody. Because we have people that have vendors that have food, and they may have craft items and things like that.
Yeah.
And then, we have our people that have antiques and such that bring all their things out. And then we have people that just have, like, yard sale items that they want to sell and kind of get rid of, you know. One man's junk is another man's treasure.
Oh, you are absolutely right, because I have been eyeing this, like, thermos type of thing. This is so cool. It's like 70s, 80s, like, Stranger Things.
Look at the colors.
That's what it reminds me of. The colors are amazing, and we were just talking about this too. It's people are trying to recreate it these days. Like, this is a very in, you know, type of thing, and you just can't. You can't fully recreate some of the stuff.
Well, let me tell you, this color gold here, was in our almost 100-year-old house when we bought it. All the woodwork, our beautiful oak woodwork, was painted this gold.
Like a mustard yellow.
Yeah, it's not painted that color anymore. Oh. It's all back to its original oak.
Well, I like it. So let's talk about some of the other things that you gathered and brought with you today.
I had a couple vendors that gave me some things that just kind of show here, and I think it's fun. Do you actually know what this is? Yeah, you're a wee one, so you may not know this, but back in the day when ladies made their own homemade cakes, they put them in the cake maker here, or the cake taker. You know, you have a Rubbermaid and Tupperware.
Yeah.
And this is the old type ones.
Oh, I'm glad that you answered the question before and didn't make me try and guess. I'm like, well, I have something in the crock pot at home. It doesn't look like that.
No, it's not a crock pot. And then, of course, comic books. I grew up, I had comic books all the time. Oh, I'm sure I would have had some money to them if I would have had them all.
Yeah.
And we have some people that just love chickens.
Chickens.
Yeah, and then, you know, some binoculars. I love the penguin down at the end there. He's my, just my overall favorite. And who doesn't know John Wayne?
That is so,
I mean, it's a John Wayne tapestry. It's really kind of cool. So these are just a few of the things just from a couple vendors that I have. Bum Mustard is one of our vendors that's been out there since the beginning. Yeah, if you like mustard, he's got 13 unique flavors.
And he has amazing.
He has the 14th one that he's going to be debuting at our flea market.
I love that. Well, we have such a good German influenced like population here too. I mean, we all love mustard.
Yeah,
right?
This is very good too.
That is awesome. And I would have to say we have so many different folks that come on the show and they have different items from, you know, their different events that they're holding. But these truly are super unique, and this is just a fraction.
And it's free. It's open to the public.
I love that.
Do have two clubhouses that will house people in. We have the pavilion that is covered pavilion.
Yeah.
And then we have some seasoned vendors. And when I was talking to a couple of them that came this weekend to drop off some stuff, I said, you know, there's a chance of rain. He said, there's always a chance of rain. Every day there's a chance of rain. I said, I get that.
Yeah.
And he said, but you know what?
People will come out.
Yeah. He said, people will come out. He said, I'm seasoned. I have tents. I have canopies.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it.
No, it's gonna be a fabulous event. And we do want to just touch on a couple of other events that you guys are going to have coming up this summer. You guys do a couple of fishing events.
We do.
Us you've got three lakes there on the property.
We do. We have three separate lakes on the property, but we have some youth fishing clinics that are coming up. One at the beginning of June, one toward the end of June, which is a fishing derby.
That's fun.
And they can find all that information on our Facebook page.
Okay, great.
And then come July is our annual picnic.
Okay.
So that's still in the working process of it, but it's July 13th, and usually we will have food and raffles and
music and
you know, games and stuff. It's a lot of fun out there.
So if you're thinking about becoming a member, definitely do it before, because then you can be part of the picnic.
You come to the picnic, it's open to the public also.
That's so great.
We do it just as a community thing. We want people to come out and see what we're all about. There's still a lot of people that don't even know that we're out there.
Yep.
We're at 2421 Big Island Parkway. Beautiful. In Milan.
Yeah.
We're not in Rock Island. That always confuses people because it says Rock Island Conservation Club.
Yeah, that is great. And you guys have a lot of stuff coming up, but it's all starting with this weekend and the flea market. So Sue, thank you so much for bringing in these items today.
No problem. Just
kind of giving people a little taste of what they can check out this weekend. All the information is right there on your screen. Again, people can always contact you guys via your website. Again, Sue, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, up next, dealing with grief and major life transitions. That can be difficult, but there are doulas dedicated to helping people process their thoughts and emotions. We're going to learn more about a local doula who's hosting some upcoming informational events. Plus, it's almost time for one of Geneseo's most popular events, the annual Art Walk. We'll get a preview of what visitors can see and do.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
Well, you've probably heard of a doula before. These are trained professionals who can really help us through significant life or health-related events. Most often, we hear about doulas helping women through childbirth, but what we hear less often are doulas who can help with end-of-life transitions. And one of those doulas is here with us now. That is Becky Nakashima-Brook with Illuminate Healing Studio. Becky, we're so glad to have you back in the studio today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, always just a lot to learn with you, and you bring us some really fun things to see, listen to, and try, so we appreciate that. Before we get started, though, tell us a little bit about Illuminate.
Sure. So I opened my studio outside of my home back in 2016, and I started out doing Reiki energy healing in 2011. Saw that really helped people, and so opened my doors to help more. And along the way, I've added things like essential oils, Thai body work, yoga, sound healing.
Yeah.
And I did find with people coming to me, that there were people coming to me for grief and there were people coming to me at the end of life. Mm-hmm. And with that, I heard about end of life doula training. And so I thought, well, that would just make sense for me to learn how to do it since I'm already helping people in that way.
Of course. And I'm sure people are curious that are watching right now. What is an end of life doula? What does an end of life doula do?
Sure. So for me, I am non-medical, so I can help out with anything non-medical. I can come to your house and or to the hospital. Mm-hmm. So in a house setting, I would give a person or give a caregiver. It could give them a break for mm-hmm. a while. So maybe they could take a shower or go get a meal or go just have some time alone. And then for the person who is ill and needing my care, I can do things like Reiki, sound healing. I can do a little light picking up around the house. Maybe mm-hmm. they need me to walk the dog, pick up in the bathroom, any sort of things. Bringing them comfort, playing sounds for them.
That really must bring you a lot personally to be able to offer that service to people.
For sure, yes.
It's really like a special thing.
Yes, it is. It's, I feel very special for people to allow me to do that for them.
Yeah. Well, you have some really incredible events coming up. So the one that's closest to us now is May 5th, Grief Ritual and Sound Bath. That event is actually not at the studio, correct? It's at Nahant Marsh Community Center.
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about what folks will do and learn at that event.
Sure. So this will be my third one there, and I hopefully will be able to do this one outside because it's gotten so beautiful out for the most part, right?
Yes.
What we do is we gather around in a circle. I usually have my sound instruments in the circle. I offer, I usually bring this lovely piece here, mm-hmm. and then people can come up and take a rock. They can share with us grief that they are having at the moment. Mm-hmm. But just because they take the stone and they come up and put it in the water doesn't mean that they have to share.
Sure.
We gather around as a community to understand that we all grieve different things. It could be a death, it could be a loss of a job, a loss mm-hmm. of a loved one, a relationship. Mm-hmm. And then we, I let them relax for about a half hour and play sounds for them.
Okay. And that's kind of where some of these instruments come in. So you were just describing them for me before we got started, but you know, kind of tell folks what you brought with you today.
Sure. So often with grieving and with clients I have that are ending the near of life, I don't like to play sounds that are too loud.
Okay.
So this one here is a water sound. If you want to kind of play with it, you can. Yeah. So you can just holding it, but also like.
Oh, you're not kidding.
Yeah.
That's really incredible.
Yeah. So it's very soothing.
It really is.
And then the disc in front of you is a little bit more, has a little bit more sound to it. You could pick it up and you won't do anything wrong.
Okay.
Just kind of move it around. Makes like a waterfall sound. Yeah.
You have so many of these instruments as well because you brought like the bowls with you last time and you had so many of those and they all made a different sound.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of goes into learning how to use all of these in a really effective way?
Right. So I did take 1 and 2 training from Sound Healing International, which helps out a ton. But a lot of it is just intuition mm-hmm. and seeing how people react to it. So listening to what they say and seeing the results.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really special. You do have another event that's also coming up in May.
Mm-hmm.
And it involves this book that you brought with you here today, End Notes. This one is really more so tailored toward folks that are going to be dealing with that end of life transition. We all are. So you don't necessarily have to know when that time is to take part in this event.
Exactly. So in this class that I'll be doing, it's free, but registration is needed just because of my space. I only can hold so many. But basically, we never know when the time comes. I suggest everyone start to do their advanced directive at the earliest age of 18 as being an adult and then revisiting it every 5 years because we change our, things might change in our life. But this book will be available for them if they want to purchase it, but I will be going over other things that are free for them to do online that they can help prepare and let their loved ones know what they want at the end because for if you've ever had somebody you've lost, it's nice to know what they want instead of
trying to make those decisions for them or trying to put yourself in their shoes. And would this person want this, you know, for themselves? It's so nice to have that there.
Exactly. You know,
it's almost like a gift to your loved ones.
It is a gift to your loved ones,
wow.
Yes.
Okay, so that event also coming up in May, that one is Saturday, May 18th, this legacy workshop, if you will, and that is going to be at Illuminate, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so we've got all the information here for you. There's the grief ritual and sound bath event that we told you about May 5th, the legacy event on May 18th. Again, as Becky mentioned, these are workshops or classes. They are free to attend, which is amazing, by the way, that you are able to provide that. But do go online and make sure that you register so she knows how many folks to be expecting. And you can do that by visiting illuminatehealingstudio.com. As always, Becky, thanks for being here. Thanks for letting me play around.
Yeah.
With your instruments. Very, very cool. So we can't wait to have you back.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Well, still to come on Quad Cities Live, it's almost time for the 2024 Geneseo Art Walk. We'll get a preview of the popular event that is happening this weekend.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
Geneseo, Illinois is gaining a reputation as a regional art destination, and this weekend you can celebrate by stopping by the annual Art Walk, which is in downtown.
Yep, Zach Sullivan is back with us today. Zach, welcome back.
Thanks, Morgan.
Yes.
Kyle.
Yes, of course. So the Art Walk, it gets more and more popular each year.
Yeah.
It is happening this weekend as well, and it's happening on Saturday only, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so tell us all about it. Starts in the morning.
Yeah, so the 9th annual Geneseo Art Walk will be this weekend, Saturday, April 27th, from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. And it's a great day to come out and enjoy the local arts in Geneseo. Mm-hmm. This is predominantly a student-centric event where we have a lot of students at the Geneseo School District who come out to showcase their art and start to build their portfolios. And so we're proud at the Geneseo Chamber to provide that launching pad for some artistic careers, as well as for students to maybe tap into a new form of art that they enjoy doing a lot. So, yeah.
And we're looking at some of the video from one of the events in the past. So there's plenty of different artwork to go and look at, go and buy some pieces of art. There's also going to be a lot of live demonstrations there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We have professional artists who are going to be there as well, and they will be doing demonstrations of oil painting to watercolors. We'll have several pottery wheel demonstrations as well as wood carving. And a lot of the pieces of art that you see being made will be available for purchase if it's ready that day. I mean, sometimes pottery takes a minute to finish.
Right. Yeah.
But it's just amazing seeing these artists in their element doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, staring at like a downtown urban landscape and making that come to life on a blank canvas. Yeah. Incredible talent on display.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No kidding. You guys are also going to have live music and some interactive exhibits. So what do you mean by interactive exhibits? Like people can actually get involved in some of this?
Yeah, and so some of the art that people do, I mean, beyond photo booths, right,
sure.
is actually we've had the bike spinner before where you sit on a bicycle and it spins around a canvas and you kind
That's
of
so
you
cool.
squirt paint on there
That's
and
awesome.
Splatters it all over. And there's also make your own buttons, and that's something that's a fundraiser for the Geneseo High School Art Club.
Okay. Cool.
And they will be back this year to do something similar where you can kind of get your own hands on it and create something yourself. We also have lots of live music, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say Geneseo Panic will be back performing at Geneseo Brewing Company at 1:30. So
That's
it should
awesome.
Be, I mean, these are young students, middle school, who are, I mean, very talented musicians, and this is just the beginning for them, you know. We will be talking about this band playing throughout the Quad Cities and beyond within 10 years.
Oh, awesome. Wow. That's Wow, go them.
Yeah,
That's
art amazing. Of a different form. So we want to talk about some of the items that you brought up here because they're very interesting. Obviously, this guy sticks out to you. Mm-hmm. It's a little jarring walking around the corner.
Yeah.
I can't do snakes.
Looks real.
But,
I either.
This is some of the sculptures. You got some chalk work as well.
It is very well done.
Yes, it is. It's very well done. And just, oh, snakes. Yeah. I mean, look, it looks real.
It really does. It's incredible. Yeah.
Very well done.
So these are done by Sheila Wygant McGee. She's a local sculptor who has a studio in downtown Geneseo.
Okay.
And there are several statues that she has created that are on display at the Geneseo City Park. So,
okay.
well-known sculptor in our area, and these are some of the cooler pieces of work that she has done on some things we've collaborated on. And then we also have other art on display here. We actually have two pieces of
this is interesting.
Yeah. Dog art. This. Okay. So dogs have created these pieces of art. Actually, it's my coworker Jessica Reese, her dogs. And we have Diesel and Sheba. And so what they did is they put the canvases in a plastic bag, and then they put peanut butter on the outside of the bag while there's paint on the inside.
What
the
a dogs good idea.
Will lick the bag, and that's what spreads the paint around.
That's love incredible. That. That's it. Yeah, and it's like so meaningful too. You know, you love your dogs, and now you can put their art up in your house. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool.
Hopefully, one day you can get your dog out there to do it. But for now, these pieces of artwork are just on for sale, right?
Yeah, we'll have some raffles, and the Quad City Canine Assistance Network will be there with therapy dogs, so you can pet a dog, right? I mean, it's always a good day if you can pet any dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, they're a great nonprofit, and they will raise some money, and they've raffled off pieces of dog art in the past. Mm-hmm. So last year, they were a great addition to the event, and we look forward to having them come back this year.
Of course. Well, we have mentioned that, you know, Geneseo becoming kind of a regional art destination with the Art Walk really playing into that. But Zach, for people that don't know, describe a little bit about what else you guys have going on in Geneseo year round. You said Sheila has an art gallery. Mm-hmm. There's other art galleries there in Geneseo.
Yes. So there's the Geneseo Art League and Gallery, which has been around for over 60 years in Geneseo. There's Rutabaga Art, which is the heart of regional art. And then we also have Smith Studio and Gallery with David Smith.
We just had him on the show.
Yep. Yeah.
Great guy,
And he's on this committee for this event and helps us plan this art walk. So we have some good people backing us up for this event. Definitely come one, come all to Geneseo and visit our art galleries.
Well, there's the information for folks on the screen. Geneseo Art Walk is this Saturday, April 27th, downtown Geneseo from 10 until 2. And as always, for more information about these events, just visit the Chamber's website at geneseo.org and then click on the events tab at the top of the page. Zach, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
Check out the murals as well.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thank you so much for watching today.
Absolutely. Your TV6 News at 4 is coming up next.